Hallelujah. This is how we're. Anyway, so today I'm going to talk about something that's a personal challenge for me. Do any of you have a personal challenge that God's just been working on you with for a while? If you don't, you need to spend some more time in prayer. And I say that because I remember something that impacted me so much as a child. Sister Claudette Walker spoke, and she talked about how one day she got really brave, and she just wrote out a list of all of her sins in her life. And she said there were like 30 sins in her life. And she's not, you know, someone that was really not serving God. She was serving God to the best of her ability, but she saw all of these sins. So she wrote them out, and she prayed about them. And a couple years later, she came back to that list, and she decided to write a new list. And this time, she was going to write a list of all her current sins. It had been a few years. And she said, this time, I had 65 sins. And she said, I was so depressed. She's like, I was just so depressed until God spoke to me. And he said, when you look at yourself in the dark, you feel like you look a lot better. But the closer you get to the light, the more of your true imperfections you see. So as I say, if you don't have something, you start praying a little bit. God will show you something. So for a couple years in my life, there's been this consistent theme. And it's one of those things, let me see what time it is, make sure I don't go too long. One of those things that he just keeps poking at me about. He keeps saying, come on, you can do a little bit better than that. Come up a little bit higher. And it's an area I'm working on because it's an area God's working in me on. It's a struggle I face, but it's also a struggle that you face. It's something that's common to all of us. It's something we all have in this room, and it is wild. It is often untamed and incredibly difficult to control. It has the power to make your life wonderful or to literally destroy it. It is the power to create beauty or to create disaster. It's a little thing that literally creates your destiny. It's a flap of flesh found in your mouth. Just a little thing, but it has so much power, called the tongue. Woo, and we all go, oh glory, we can just go to the altar right now. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3:10 in the New Living Translation says, for the scripture says, if you want to enjoy life, who wants to enjoy life? You want to enjoy life and see many happy days. Keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. James 1:26 says, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself. And your religion is worthless. Worthless. Oh. That one will get you right in the heart. Perhaps we prefer to skip past that one really quickly. You know, kind of like some of those verses in the Bible that we would rather not dwell on too long. Like loving our enemies or praying for those that have wronged us. Ooh. We don't really want to think about that. I don't want to dwell too long on the fact that I'm going to completely obliterate my testimony of the greatness of God to this world with my mouth. James 1:26, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are literally fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. So no matter how holy I aim to be on the outside, and outside holiness is vital, do not misconstrue what I am saying. But no matter how great you look externally, if the inside of me is not holy, then everything is worthless. It produces nothing. Think about it. We can literally make our entire lives of no effect on those around us simply by not controlling our tongue. I speak about this at Ladies on Fire conference because you're never going to have the fire of the Holy Ghost in your life if you don't have control of your tongue. Your tongue is the originating place of the fire of the Holy Ghost, and it's also the quenching place. When God's Spirit fills us, he uses the most unruly member. The Bible literally calls it your most unruly member. He uses that to give you the evidence that he has filled you with his Spirit, that he is now in control of you. And if you've never received the Spirit of God, you're in the right place today. God can fill you with his Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and you will be changed. Because his spirit will show in your life that he is in control. You know, your tongue shows what's in control of you. We can tell what's in control by what's escaping our mouths. Am I walking in the spirit or am I walking in the flesh? When God's spirit falls on us, the revelation that we have received, he comes from our tongue. Think about it. The spirit that you're operating under is revealed by the words that you speak. I'm like, oh, tell you a personal story. So the other day, I came into the house, and I'd just been having one of those days. I'm really trying to do better with the words I speak. But my husband, he has a thing for grass. I don't have a thing for grass. And we have no rain in Spain right now. We have no rain right now. And so everybody's grass is brown. It's literally crunching, right? Is your grass crunching? Yeah. My grass is crunching. Well, my grass is not crunching. Because my husband likes to run the sprinklers. Except we have a really large yard. And apparently the City of Liberty didn't decide to give us our water bill. They've just been kind of giving it to us at, you know, whatever their metered amount was. So he hands, I come in, I open up this water bill, and it literally is a $600 water bill. I'm just staring at it for a minute like, we're supposed to have a date night. I'm supposed to be nice to this person. Right now, and our grass is not even completely green because he's been trying to be, you know, thrifty, he says. I'm like, so to make our grass semi-green. So anyway, it put me in a pretty foul state of mind, as you can imagine. And then we're talking about what we're going to do that evening for our date night. And I caught myself. I was like saying not necessarily bad things, but just not nice things. They were coming out of my mouth like, what do you want to do? I don't know. All you want to do is sit there. And a couple things, and God really convicted me. He was like, And I said, you know, I'm just going to run to the post office, and I'll be back, because I have to run to the post office with my boutique, constant. So I get in the car, and I'm like, God, I don't even know what's wrong with me. Just start praying about it. Get myself together. I'm like, I'm not going to let another word come out of my mouth until I get control of my spirit, because that's really what's going on here. Now, I had a justifiable reason to be annoyed at him. But he's not going to use the sprinklers anymore. Glory to God. God convicted him. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that out of the abundance of our hearts, our mouth speaks. And that's why I had to get working in me to make sure nothing else came out of my mouth. That's why praying for others that have hurt or wronged us is so important. Because if we pray on them, pray for them, pray not them, that would be kind of weird, but pray for them. When we pray for them, it changes us, changes our spirits. There are verses that honestly we prefer to ignore, yet they go hand in hand with what our mouths speak. Pray for those who have wronged you and used you, because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak, and you must guard your mouth in order to live a good life. If we are praying for those who have hurt us or wronged us, then we relinquish control and vindication and bitterness over what has transpired, and with our mouths, we begin to bless instead of curse. This process changes us. And God knew that people are going to wrong you. If you've been living any amount of time, somebody has wronged you. He knew that they're going to hurt you. And you know, a lot of times it's not even on purpose. You know how many people that I have hurt, wronged, or offended on accident? Because when you work with somebody, Sister Barlow, come here real fast. I'll use you as an example. When you work by somebody or you have a relationship with somebody, just kind of rub against them. All the time. Well, I'm like, rub against her hard one time. So now she's going to be offended at me that I did that. When I might have just been, you know, moving myself around. But it's just a parallel. You can sit down. Thank you. Please forgive me. Hallelujah. But you rub against each other. And that rubbing produces character in both of you if you would allow it to. But if it doesn't, it produces offense. Because sometimes you just don't rub me the right way. And we can let that get in our spirit. Right. And it's going to come out our mouths. When we allow unforgiveness and bitterness in our spirit, it is only a matter of time before that toxicity begins to seep out of you. You ever spent some time around somebody and you're just like, after you hung out with him? I'm like, can't put my finger on it, but there's just something. Right. It's that toxicity coming out in somebody. New Living Translation of 3:19 says, if you want to enjoy life, say enjoy life,
enjoy life.
And see happy days,
happy
then keep your tongue. Say, keep my tongue.
Keep my tongue.
Guess what? Did you know that you are making yourself unhappy? You are making your life unenjoyable. You're doing so by the words that you speak. Think for a minute. We are created in the image of God. When God created the world, with the exception of humanity, everything that we see, he spoke into existence. God spoke, and it came to be. God's words have creative power. He speaks, it happens. Let me challenge your thinking for a moment. If we're created in the image of God, we're in his likeness, and so many of our natural and biological conditions have parallels in the spiritual to the God that we serve, then why would our world not words not also have the same power? Our worlds are created by the words that we speak. I propose that you create what you speak. This is one of the reasons that we must be so careful in our speaking to our children and to our husbands. Because study after study has shown that children become who you think they are. Why? Because what you think you say and what you say creates. My mother tells a story of being a young child, and her sister, she's a twin sister, They were bullies. Imagine that. Does anyone know my mom? Can you imagine her as a bully? So she was bully, her and her sister bullies on the playground. And they were mean little kids. And she remembers overhearing her aunts talking to her, talking about her in another room. They didn't even know she was listening. She said they were talking about her and her sister. And they were saying, you know, Kelly, saying this stuff about her. They're like, but Rachel, which is my mom, she's so sweet. And she's so gentle and kind. And my mom says she remembers thinking about those words because she wasn't sweet and she wasn't gentle and kind. But she remembered her choices began to parallel with what people believed that she was. Her actions became kind and sweet, all because someone spoke that she was those things. To this day, one of the most common things that people will say about my mom is how kind and how gentle and how sweet she is. It has never left. Something was created by those words spoken by two adults and overheard by a little girl. Our words have creative power. The opposite is also true. I recently heard Dr. Gerald Jeffers tell a story about a study that was done on Native American elders. The study was performed because it was noticed that once these men and women decided that they had lived a full enough life and were ready to die, they would shortly pass away. Whether they were ill or healthy, they would die within a certain amount of time. It was intriguing. So a clinical study was performed on these elders to determine the factors that were involved. It was noted that once the elder decided that it was time to die, they literally, with their mouths, began, as their custom was, to say, I am going to die soon. I am going to die soon. And in response, as they studied them, the cells of their bodies began to shrink and prepare for death. Our words have creative power. This is why when someone is seeking the Holy Ghost, and this is a total side note, but if you want the Holy Ghost, or if you're praying with someone that wants the Holy Ghost, one of the first questions to ask them is, do you believe that you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Almost every time, if someone will say, yes, I believe I will receive it, as soon as we pray for them, they will receive it. Because they speak it with their mouth. The Bible says that confession is made unto salvation. When you speak with your mouth that you believe something, it comes to pass. So I ask today, what are you creating with the words that you speak? When you wake up in the morning, do you say, I'm so tired. I hate my job. I wish I could go back to bed. Imagine what's happening to your body in these moments. I feel icky towards my job. I feel icky about waking up. I'm so tired. I just want to get back in bed. It affects so many different areas of life, though. Even the sayings that I can't live without coffee. I love coffee, but I can live without coffee. Be aware of the words that you speak. What if we instead, when we wake up in the morning so tired, said, God is my strength. Sure, you're tired, but why are you focusing on it? speak life into your situation. God is my strength, and His grace is sufficient for me. I can do all things, like the song we sang. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter how I'm feeling, my God, He is with me. You will feel the power of those words. Even as I spoke them, you felt the power of the atmosphere change, because our words create life. They create energy. Things start moving and shaking when we speak. Force those positive words out of your mouth, and it will be a force. You will not feel like saying them, but when you speak them, it gets easier. And your life is going to be better as a result. Circumstances will not only change, but you will change. Focus on the good of every situation. Recently, we went out, and this last story I'll tell, and I'm wrapping up, but we went out to IHOP after a full church prayer that we had. We were there for 2.5 hours. It was such a blessing. I was challenged in this. I was so proud of myself, though. I did not speak one negative word. It was freezing cold in the building, to the point where I was like literally curled up against the next person to me. And I'm like, man, we're getting a lot of time to be close tonight. Speaking positive. Yeah. Well, 2.5 hours later, I never did get to eat anything. I was the only person in our party, like 30 people, that didn't get any food at all. Once again, I was like, thank you, Lord. You are testing me. But every time a situation came, I just determined, I'm going to say something positive right now. I'm going to say something positive. I said, you know, we've had so much good time of fellowship. We never would have got this amount of fellowship had we gone to that other place. But in turn, it made me feel happier. I wasn't a grump in that situation, which I should have been, because I'd eaten one little tiny meal all day. I was starving. I never did end up eating. I was so tired by the time I got home, I just got to bed. It's like, whatever, we'll eat tomorrow. But I created a happier life. And that wasn't even a spiritual situation. But imagine in the spiritual how much more power that is. We must speak the word. You know, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, that is exactly what he did. Something that God really showed me is I was thinking about this thought. And when you're thinking about a thought as a mom, I literally was watching my kids play in the pool. That's the world of a mother. I'm watching them play at the pool, and God's just speaking and talking to God. And as I was thinking about this, he reminded me that, you know, you may feel weak today. And you may not be able to dance around and jump around. And you don't have that victory in your spirit possibly yet. But when someone is on their way out, they still maintain their speech until the very end. And Jesus had fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. He was as weak as you can imagine. And when the devil came to him, he didn't get out a sword and say, oh, I'm going to fight him. I'm going to fight him in the physical. But he literally just began to speak. And he spoke the word of God. And it changed the situation. So as we close, today you may be feeling that way. You may feel like, I am so weak. The idea of picking up a sword and going to battle, I don't even feel like I can do it. Don't say that. I want us to begin, as we go into another song, just to begin to speak those words over our lives, to say the words that I referenced earlier. God is my strength. His grace is sufficient for me. Whatever situation it is that you're in, I challenge you to stand up right now and to lift your hands and to begin to speak the exact opposite of what you think is going to happen in the negative. Begin to speak the positive. My God is so great. His grace is sufficient for me. My financial situations have to bow before God. There is nothing that is too hard for him.
I had this before she ever started talking. And there is power in you. be mine.